Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that this morning you're here with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I start to communicate, Father, to speak to your people, I'm just a servant. I don't have everything or every answer, but it's you, Holy Spirit, you're going to guide me and help me to deliver the message that you have for us in store this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, minister to us. Use me in a special way. In the precious name of Lord Savior, I pray and I believe. Amen. I want to start with this verse. I think Psalm 121. It's just pop up throughout the week. This scripture is just coming up to me. And that says Psalm 21. And also, I believe it's connected to the prophet just brother gave a few minutes ago. Psalm 121 from verse 1. It's very familiar scripture, but it's been playing into my spirit for the past few days. I look up to the mountains. Does my help comes from there? My helps come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Where does your help comes from? My helps come from when? From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, you have to remember that. A maker of heaven and earth. It's not just anybody. It's a sovereign one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the God who say, I am going to help you. I'm going to help me. If you seek me with all your heart, you will search, you will find me. Yesterday, I lost my wallet actually for a few moments. I lost it. And I start looking for it all over in my pocket, open up the pocket. And for a few minutes, I keep opening empty pocket in every. I've been looking all over the places, and I went back to my pocket just in case maybe somewhere there, maybe it's hiding somewhere, and I couldn't find it, and I was so desperate for it because I was stuck somewhere where I could not even do anything about it. I was driving. I'm a bus driver, so I was driving my bus. I thought I've lost it, so I was sitting there hopeless, don't know where my wallet is. So I would keep searching for it, keep looking all over the place, keep looking for it. I could not find it. And it just reminded me this morning, I found it later on that I left in the car. But I found it somewhere in the car. And this morning, and the Lord just reminded me, if you search me with all your heart, you will find me. It's the same way that I was looking for my wallet, even the place where I've looked for it already. But I went back and looked for it again and again and again, just in case. And I thought to myself, what is inside of that wallet? It's so spatial. It's only the bank card and my driver license, really. And most of them, I can replace them. I can call the bank, they'll give me another bank card. Call the DVLA, they'll send me a driver license. But I was so desperate for it that I've lost something very valuable to me. And God said to me, listen, if you search for me, if someone is here this morning, if you search for me, if you search for me, you will find me. And how much desperate you want him, God, he will reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. We're reading the Bible, starting with Moaf this week in the book of James. And this book of James, the very first chapter, second verse, talking about, if you're going through trials and tribulation, consider it pure joy. And I thought to myself, God, why are you telling me if I'm going through troubles and tribulation in my life, you are telling me to consider it pure joy? It's not easy for all of us when you go through trouble and trial to consider it joy. It's difficulty. But remember, you have to remember God say, if you're going through trouble, I will be with you through your troubles. And guess one thing is, the moment I accept Christ Jesus as my personal Savior, Jesus himself will come and lives inside of me. Now, there's a difference when I go through trial without him. Because when I go through trials and tribulation in life, remember, most of us, we don't know what to do when we're going through trials and tribulation. We don't know how to make a decision. We are confused. We are panicking, but God say, if you're going through trials and tribulation, I will be with you. And that's what God is telling you, that when you're going through trials and tribulation, I will help you to make a decision. I will help you to show the right path, which one you should take. I will help you to clear your head and say, this is what I want you to go, because we're all going to go some trials and tribulation in life. But it's different when God is with you and helping you, because he said, you know what? I am with you. Don't take it upon yourself, because I am your helper. I'm your Father in heaven who wants to help you. And as long as you acknowledge that, he comes in and helps you because he knows you have nobody else. And Jesus said, I will never leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who is your helper and your guidance in your daily life with you. Because he's the Holy Spirit, is a person. It's not it, he's a person. He's there to help you because he understands it. Sometimes your trouble makes you confused. You don't know what to do. And the helper is there, the Holy Spirit. The maker of heaven and earth, he has promised you and me, I will be with you through trial. This is just the encouragement from God. It's not what I'm about to share with you. And I want you to remind you this. Don't look for answer anywhere else. You have to remember the God of the universe. This morning, I don't know why you came to this church this morning, because when I came to this church this morning, I had an expectation that I'm going to encounter the living God, number one. Secondly, I come to worship the God who protect me, who provide for me. That's what I came here this morning. Not because I deserve it, it's because of his grace and his mercy. That's why I'm here this morning. And I acknowledge that, God, I thank you, because without you, I am nothing in this place. And I counting every blessing in my life where my children are healthy, that is a blessing to me. So when I walk up through these doors, even though I didn't see miracle, big miracle, get healed from cancer, but I believe that God has been something in my life. He protected my children. He gave me good health. That's why I'm here this morning, this church, to worship him. Lord, my feeling does not tell me I need to worship you, but I have to acknowledge it is intentional. You have to have intentional. To have a relationship with God is intentional. God is not going to come up from heaven. No, you say, it is my you have to have intentional. You say, Lord, I want to know you. And how do you do that? You open his book and you read the scripture. All you have to do, get the word of God and read and believe it. That's all you need to do. And God said to you this morning, just trust me. Just trust me. And I will help you. Hallelujah. The trial that you're going through today, God said, listen to me. I am with you. I am going to direct you. I understand you have no idea what to do. But don't worry, leave it to me. Hallelujah. Leave it to me. And Jesus said this very clear. He said, listen, to my Father, to you, to God, everything, to you is not, everything is impossible. But to my Father, everything is what? Is possible. That is Jesus trying to telling us, the moment we accept Christ in our life, everything is possible for those who believe in him. Hallelujah. And the moment you accept him, everything is possible. It's just you believe the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I want you, when you come to this church this morning, don't worry. If you didn't have any planning what to expect, don't worry. This is what God wants you to hear. Hallelujah. And it's so amazing. Amen. Now, I want to share with you about something called a wavering faith. And the reason I want to share that, because the Bible says about without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. In other words, I can come to church, but if I don't have faith, I cannot. If I don't have faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. So without faith, if it is impossible to please God, then I must have faith in order to experience the blessing of God. Hear I? Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah? We understand that. And faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. In other words, if I need to have more faith of healing, I need to find a scripture and to stand upon it. And that's how faith comes. Hallelujah. Now, if you watch so much of so negativity, anything of negativity for so long, that is what you're going to believe it for after a long time. It's the same when you apply the word of God. If you read about the word of God about healing, that's what you're going to start believing about healing over yourself. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. My life, if I need to see changes in my life, I need to have faith in God. It's not just faith that God has got principle. And one of his principles is you need to study his word. And not only that, you also need to pray to him. He is commanding us to pray in order for us to receive anything from him. Now, the reason I want to share about wavering faith is because if your faith, wavering faith, it means is the one stuck between doubting and trusting God. And in order for me to receive anything from God, anything that is in between, if I doubt God, it's impossible for me to receive from the Lord. His blessing. Simple. If I doubt God, I cannot receive anything from him. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 to 8. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled, as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by such wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. They are unstable in everything what they do. So I've mentioned some of a few things here, and because Pastor Terry gave me a book to read a few weeks ago, and it goes against about my preaching totally, actually not. So I'm trying to apply what the book tells me. So I've wrote down causes of wavering faith. Okay. There's about six of them. Now, if you ask me in the next 6 months, probably I won't even mention six of them. I'll mention two or three of them. Now, I want you to do this. Okay. Pick the one you think is relevant for you. Okay. Choose the one. I'm going to share not all of them, actually. Just choose a few of them. Okay. There's six of them because it's not easy to remember everything. But I want you to know that which one is it that is causing me not to receive the blessing of God? Hallelujah. Because this, I've been told if you mention 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, people then don't remember most of the time. So I'm trying to adjust in my preaching now. So, right. So the number one is this. We allow our feeling to overcome our faith. The causes of wavering faith is we allow our feelings to overcome our faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says the righteous shall live by what? By faith. We live by faith and not what? By sight. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. In other words, I live as a Christian. I don't allow my feelings. I have to allow my faith, because sometimes the thing that I want in natural, I cannot have them. But I need to have faith, to live by faith, is because faith is when you the things you hope for, the things that you cannot see in your normal eyes. As a believer, the moment I become a Christian, I don't live anymore by sight. Just because you have it, I don't envy you because you have it. If I don't have it, that's okay. Because I believe God is going to provide for me one day. And that's how you live by faith. You take your feelings out and you live by faith and not what? By sight. And Christian nowadays, we tend it because we don't have it. Then we think, then let me just go ahead and do my own way. That is your feelings and not God's way. Hallelujah. So that's the number one I want to share. We allow our feelings to overcome our faith. Another thing is this one is we listen to a negative counsel. A believer, we are so much busy nowadays. We're all bombarded with so much negativity in our walk with Christ today. And the chances are for you to listen to the negative from people is very high. It depends what you're exposing yourself. That is causing a wavering faith for you to receive the blessing of God. Because if you have a friend who's so negative, and that's why you're listening to them, guess what? They're going to cause your faith to stumble. They're going to cause you not to straight to trust in God and believing in him. They're going to cause you to doubting him. Simple as that, because of the people are surrounding you. Now, you are a believer. The people you're supposed to hang out with are unbeliever, but they're not supposed to influence your life. Because you have to remember, the one who is inside of you is greater than the one in the world. Now, believer, we don't act that anymore. We act like the people in the world are more powerful than the Christ we have inside of us. So we're living a life where we think, you know what? I think they are right. And guess what? The moment you're trying to make that decision, you have a favorite of wavering faith. You cannot receive anything or the blessing God has in store for you. And for me, I have made the decision that I need to surrender to God. You know when God says you surrender himself to him? It means you surrender every part of your life. Everything about you. You need to say, Lord, sometimes I don't know what decision I need to make in my life. And I want you to, I surrender everything. And this surrender is not something that is costing you something. To have a personal relationship with God, it has to cost you something. There is a cost in order for you to receive a reward from him. And the choice is all yours. You either want to see the blessing of God, or you're going to just say, you know what? I'm going to show up and I'm going to live a Christian life, but I don't care about if I'm going to be blessed by God. But not for me. For me, I want to experience the blessing of God while I'm still living. Hallelujah. Because that's the only way I can obtain the blessing of God, is when I love you. You're my friend. You're my brother. I know you that you're not Christian, but I'm a Christian. I don't want to listen to your counseling. I need to go to find a solution into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. If that's where you need to turn to, it will help you not to have a wavering faith. Hallelujah. Now another one. We focus on our circumstances rather than God. We have done that. I've done that myself so many times. Yesterday, there's a guy in our workplace. His car has got stolen. It's got stolen. And I saw him. I think it was stolen the night before. So I saw him yesterday. This guy, he's so happy. And I said to Eden, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy you lost your car? He said, Ben, things happen. And he didn't use the word thing. He put some word there. He said, it's my fault. I lost the keys. The people stole the car. It's my fault. But this guy, his attitude was so amazing that he lost a very valuable car. It's 2012 plate. It's more than about 10 grand, I think that's what he was telling me. His attitude, it was so positive to the point I'm looking at him. He was not changed by his circumstance around him. And I look at him and I say, Dean, why are you not so? I said, Ben, don't worry about it. I said, have you called the police? No, I'm going to call them on Monday. This guy, his car has been stolen. He's going to call the police on Monday. And I'm worried more than him. I'm a Christian. I'm looking at him. He did not allow the circumstance to change the way how he behaved. He's not a Christian, but he's got a smile on his face. And I look at him and say, oh God, thank you for teaching me a lesson from this young man. He's very young. And I thought, maybe when you're young, you don't really care much. You know what? That's how we're supposed to be a Christian. Our circumstances are not supposed to change the way how you don't. We focus on our circumstances rather than God himself. Praise the Lord. We all face trials in life. The more you focus on your circumstances, doesn't mean God is going to change it. No. God is not going to change. You have to just remember that the God is under control. Hallelujah. The more you focus on a difficulty, the more you start doubting God. I want to have that kind of attitude where, you know what, God, I want to focus on you. I've lost the car. It's just money. It's nothing else. I can replace that. And I've learned that one day. I said, you know what? If I was a Christian, I'm a Christian. This guy is not a Christian, but he behaved more like a Christian than I. And I said, Lord, thank you, because I've got an example to share tomorrow in the church. And I've got, you know, it's not when the Holy Spirit tells you that, you know what? Do you see this guy the way how he behaved? You know, he lost his car, but he doesn't really care. He doesn't even mind. And he's not, look my car and I look his car. I thought, whoa, my car is cheap compared to yours. If I lost mine today, I'll probably be all over the place running today. So that's one of the things the Christian, we also, we causing us to have wavering faith, is we focus on our circumstance rather than God. And God does not want us to do that. Hallelujah. That's the number three. Don't worry about the numbers, okay? We are ignorant of God's way. God always operates on the basis of principle, not on the basis of the feelings. Hallelujah. Prayer is so important for a believer. Even if you're not a believer, prayer is so important for a Christian. Let me tell you why it's so important to you and me. The Bible says that before you ask anything from me, your Father in heaven, he already knows that you want from him. In other words, before I go to God and say, Lord, I need you to heal me, he already knows that I'm sick and I need healing from him. Do you receive that? In other words, the reason God is asking me to pray to him, it is God's principle. In order to obtain, because you are submit under his authority, that you acknowledge that he is the Lord and he's all powerful, that he's the only one who can help you from your situation. And that's the reason God is asking you to pray. He doesn't ask you to pray because he cannot do it. No. God, he wants you to acknowledge that he owns you. The one Lord, the Lord is my person, the Lord and my Savior of my life. He owns you. When you say, Lord, I pray to you, you acknowledge it. He is the God Almighty who's sitting up in heaven. He's the only one who can solve your problem. So the problem is, most of us Christians, we have wavering faith because of ignorance. We think that we don't need to pray. No, you need to pray in order to receive what you want from the Lord. And as long as you don't pray, you're not going to receive anything. And that is because Christian, we think we can just wake up in the morning and even though I lost my wallet yesterday, I did pray. I did pray because I was not sure that if I've left the wallet in the car or I've lost on the street. Now, two things was going up in my mind. One of them, I've left in a clear place so people they can smash the window and take the wallet. Because you have to remember the day before, the car's been stolen in the same place. And I've parked my car there. So I had two things going on inside of me. Either the wallet is on open place, someone can break the window and take the wallet. And it looks big, actually. There's nothing in there. But it looks big. Okay? And then I thought to myself, a few things were going. I'm driving. It feels like I'm going too slow. Have you ever been late for something and you're driving? Everyone in front of you think is driving slowly because you're in a rush to get somewhere. Yeah, that's how I was feeling that day. It's yesterday. I was driving too fast. He's driving too slow. No, he's driving fine. He's driving 30 miles an hour. You're in the hurry. That's why you think they're driving too slow. You see? So I pray to God that moment. I say, Lord, I don't know where I've put my wallet. I prayed because I know in order for God to do something in my life, I need to pray. It is God's principle. I did not just say, God protect it. No, I didn't just keep it just like that. I said, God, I want you to protect my wallet. If it's in the car, I want you to protect it. And guess what? When I went to my car, that wallet was hiding somewhere under between the chairs. Not in the open place. But I prayed. I prayed. Because I know God operating what? In principles. It's because Christian, we think we can just obtain things from the Lord. No. God will operate in principle too. Amen.
The last one is this one. I'm not gonna finish all of them. When we listen to the lie of Satan, Satan has done so much damage to the Christian today, and I believe he'll continue to do that, and that is causing one of very, stress to most Christians today. The Bible talks about the devil, he's a father of liars. From the beginning, he was a father of liars. I want you to remind you one thing. The moment you accept Christ as your personal savior, you've become the enemy of the Mr. Devil himself. His job, because he already knows that you are going to experience the peace of Lord. Do you understand that? He already knows that you're going to go to heaven. He already knows that you're going to find the truth about yourself, your purpose, your meaning, why you're here on earth. Now, his job is to do the reverse of that, to tell all the lies about you. Do you know what? You will never be happy. That is his job to do. His job is to tell you, you'll never be successful in life. His job will tell you that, you know what? God doesn't even know you. He does not even care about you. That is the lies of the enemy. And let me tell you one thing. Every single one of us here, even me, including me, standing here preaching, we all going to go through the lies of the enemy. Because the enemy is going to tell things in our mind and keep telling us so we start believing in him instead of believing in the word of God. Now, he's going to do that as long because devil is stubborn. If you're not going to be stubborn like him, you're never going to win him. No, you have to realize that with the moment you become Christian, his job is to take out your joy, your happiness, and your relationship with him, with God. His job is to say, you know what? I'm going to destroy relationship, your relationship with your Father in heaven. And that is his job. I want to remind you, it's not just you, you're going that trial and tribulation in life. It's not just you. Everyone else is going to the same thing. Even Christians who are coming to church today. But you have to remember the reason he's attacking you is because he does not want you to see you experience the blessing of God. And that was caused wavering faith into Christian today. Let me tell you one thing. You have to understand one thing. This word has every answer for every problem that we are facing today. Trust me. I have seen God in my life through this book. Hallelujah. It gets to the point where I'm fed up, I'm tired, and I want to give God an excuse. I say, Lord, I don't want to show up to church this morning, but I come anyway because I'm counting
my testimony in my life. I count the testimony where God took me to the place where I was nothing. I count my blessing when I see God, when people, they look at me and say, Benny, you are nothing. And then I see and I go on my knees and then I pray and ask God for direction. He gives me direction. An enemy does not like that. He knows that I'm heading the right direction. And every time when I open the Bible and I found another word to say, you know what, you're more than a conqueror. And I take that, I'm more than a conqueror because the Bible tells me I'm more than a conqueror. And the enemy does not like that because he wants me to defeat it. You know what? I take this word and I read it. And that's how you overcome the enemy. And if you don't do that, you will never defeat the devil. He will always be on top of you. And guess what? You're going to be all frustrated and you can never obtain the blessing of God. And what happened is you have doubt in your life. All through life, you have this doubt. And guess what? How can you receive anything from God? Because you have a doubted faith. And God does not want that. God wants you to experience his blessing. I'll finish up with this. When God created you, he gave every single one of us ability to do things. If you ask me 10 years ago that I can stand in front of people and preach, I'll tell you, no, you're a liar. Trust me. One thing I was given, the good one was that, you know, God, I cannot speak. Second, God, I'm not educated like people who have a theology. I don't have a theology. I just open my Bible and I read my Bible. When I get time, I read my Bible. Lord, that's all I have. Second, I say, Lord, by the way, you want me to speak English? It's my second language. My first language is Swahili, man. Where can I speak? English is not my language. Why do you want me to do? People, they will laugh at me. And sure enough, I remember when I started preaching, there was a guy who was sitting every time when I was preaching. He would come and sit there and he was just laughing at me every time. And he used to bother me a lot. He used to bother me a lot. There was a point where I said, you know what? I don't want to go there because people, they think I look funny. And I said, you know what, God, you gave me the ability to do this. When God created you, he gave you the ability to be who you are. God gave you the ability if to be a preacher. God gave you the ability to be a preacher. If God gave you the ability to be a pastor or a physician, whatever it is, you name it, it is God gave every human being to have, because he created for his purpose. Not your purpose. You're not here because you're here because you want to be here. He created you for his purpose. And he's going to fulfill his purpose over your life. It's the same like when God created you, he said, I create Ben but I want him to fulfill something on earth. And once he finished that, he done with it, I'm taking him away. That's what I'm called to do. God gave you the ability to do anything in this life. You may have an IQ of 210, like a professor who, Donkinson, whatever his name is, physician. Or you can have an IQ of 10 like me, but God can still use you. Because God gives the ability to every single one of us. And don't give an excuse to him. That is the lie of the enemy. And I want you to leave out this place and go home. Remember this. Every time when you hear those few things I've mentioned to you, you have to know it's the enemy who's trying to speak to you. And if you pick one or two from those causes of wavering faith, please go and apply it. Don't just leave out of here and just go and just go apply it in your daily life. That's how you become strong in the faith. That's how you become mature Christian. That's how you grow. That's how you become Christian. That's how people, they will see the difference between John and Ben, because they know, oh, this Ben, this guy is going to church nowadays. Don't mess with him. They can tell the difference because we want you to apply what you have in here, and then people, they can start experience the difference inside of you. Not only that, you can start experience the blessing of God that is in store for all of us. This book is all about you and it's all about me. I read to myself. As I read to myself, I take it to myself. I share what God has given to me and also ask you to do the same thing God has shared for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you're so amazing and so wonderful, Father. You had a plan and purpose for every single one of us who are sitting today here this morning, Father. We show up this morning because we know that you're the mighty God, powerful God. Nothing is impossible for you, Father. You can achieve the impossible in our life, O God. And some people are sitting here today, they miss the direction in life, Almighty God. Maybe for some reason they've been doubting you, Almighty God. I pray, Father, renew their faith in this morning, Father. That they will know that if they put trust in you, Almighty God, you will show up to their life, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, Father. You're going to make it where it seems to be. There is no way, Father, in their life this morning. Thank you, Jesus, because you are with them. You are guiding them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take over, take control over their life, Almighty God, this morning. I believe, Father, this word, it did just come here this morning to share it with, nothing can bring back. Father, I believe this word will produce fruit in people's life this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so amazing and you're so wonderful. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're here with us this morning. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, I pray and I believe it is done. Amen. Amen.